Hey, Joan. Very excited to be here to get into bed with you. I think it's going to be like, you know, most of my encounters with women in bed. A lot of Holocaust jokes, a lot of age jokes, you know, a lot of put downs. And then I'll finish first.
Hi, I'm Joan Rivers, and you're watching In Bed with Joan. And as usual, as I always say, I don't know who's coming on the show, so let's see who's coming out of the closet tonight. Hello? Ah! Anthony Jeselnik, how nice. This is a pleasure.
Great to see you, Joan.
Great to see you, Anthony.
I don't know why I gave you the two-handed hand.
No, give me the two-handed hand.
Like I'm trying to steal your rings.
Yeah. Well, you'll be disappointed. First of all, have we ever really met before?
We've not. We've never met before.
Okay, because I did I was roasted, but you weren't one of the writers on the roast yet.
No, that was before my time.
Okay. And you came on two shows after?
I wrote for Hasselhoff, which was right after you.
Was that fun?
It was fun. Yeah, it was really fun because you got to be there all night with writers, like for weeks, writing jokes, saying the meanest things you could.
Yeah.
It would never end up on air. It was really funny. But then I got to do Donald Trump, which was the next one.
And so what were the great Hasselhoff lines that you didn't do? Do you remember? Because he's such a target. It was three years ago. I remember that.
Yeah.
And then Donald. And that's what shot you into prominence. You
know what I mean? Yeah. Absolutely. And that was a lot of fun. I remember everyone has rules. Like I remember your rule was don't make fun of Melissa, don't make fun of my kids or my family.
Right. Exactly.
David Hasselhoff said don't make fun of my daughters. Donald Trump's rule was don't say I have less money than I say I do.
That's the rule.
He was like, make fun of my kids, do whatever you want. Just don't say I don't have that much money. Yeah. Crazy guy.
Who else had crazy rules?
That was it. Sheen said he had no rules and then he cut one of my jokes. Because it was about his mom.
Who was his mother?
Nobody. That was the joke. You've got a crazy family. Your brother is Emilio Estevez. Your father is Martin Sheen. And your mom is some dumb cunt.
Yeah, it's a great, great joke.
And he cut that. Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why either. No one explained it to me.
Because I know her and that you obviously have met her.
I've heard rumors.
Just rumors. Okay. They're always saying that, because, you know, I start to hear about you, the underground starts to talk. And you are, which I love, you're so politically incorrect, because that to me, any comic that is politically correct, boring, goodbye, out of my life. And you have done that, you do cancer jokes to cancer patients, it's so fabulous.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think it's important to be edgy, otherwise it's boring.
And I think those that are still conscious probably find it amusing.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. Absolutely.
Jeselnik.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Russian?
Slovenian.
Where the hell is Slovenia?
In Russia. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't know.
So were your parents happy to get Slovenia, or was it difficult? And was the journey forced?
No, it wasn't. We're not like off the boat or anything. My family didn't even know we were Slovenian. I would ask, where's Jeselnik come from? My dad would say, I don't know, German or something. And they didn't really know. And then when I found out it was Slovenian, I did like the research online. No one cared.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, great, Slovenian. Who cares?
Maybe they really were German, but you know, the wrong side of the blanket.
Yeah, they're hiding. They're hiding because of people.
They came over in 1946 and he forgets he was Hitler Youth. Yeah. Does your father hate Jews?
Not as much as he should, you know? Like, I've never felt like he went all the way with it.
Yeah. When you do your jokes, in the beginning, now people know you're funny and you're terrific and you're outrageous. When you were first starting to do wild jokes, were you booed a lot? Were you scared you're going to be beaten up in an alley?
I wasn't really scared about getting beaten up. I was just scared that I wouldn't be able to perform on the road. You know, that people would just reject me across the country. But they didn't really. You know, in the beginning, I think when I was more nervous, people felt like they could talk to me. Like, I have to come at their show and be like, you really shouldn't tell that joke. You know, I've had something in my life happen that was bad, so you shouldn't say that.
Or the opposite. You're so right.
Yeah, that's even worse.
Even worse.
Yeah. You need more black jokes. More. I'm like, you're missing the point.
Yeah. Exactly. You did something on your show, which people literally called me up. You had black people spell black names.
It was one black person. I had more white people spell black names.
That they didn't tell me. They only told me the good part.
Yeah.
And so you had names like, give me a good black name.
There was one guy. A lot of them are names that are normal names, but they mess them up. Like one was Dante, but it was D-O-N-T apostrophe A. So you would like never get that. Or Yesenia was a good one.
Yesenia's good.
Which the trick was Yesenia is Hennessy backwards and misspelled. This wasn't easy. It was an easy one.
Who thought of that? Was that you?
Probably some poor kid's mother thought of that.
No, not
but
the
I
name.
The joke. One of my writers. I have an Asian writer named Andrew Law who thought of that bit that we
just hilarious.
Yeah, we were very excited about that.
You're on Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
How open are they? E has been wonderful to us on Fashion Police. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. They sit there with lawyers trying to figure out how to get the joke through,
mm-hmm.
which is a very different.
Well,
how good is Comedy Central?
They're good to me, I think, in the same way E's good to you, is that you get away with things because you're Joan Rivers.
Right.
I'm starting to get away with things because I'm Anthony Jeselnik. And when you have offensive in the title of the show, then they really have to work with you to get the most offensive stuff on.
What of some of the stuff that didn't get on?
Oh, what has not gotten on so far?
I'm sure you've been asked this a lot.
Yeah, we have, and we're still fighting for things, too. Like, we had a thing called 9/11 Babies that we did. That people really were against, but it was, I thought, I had this idea, what if we dressed up babies like the Twin Towers, and then I fed them like baby food, like here comes the airplane, and then the baby's face explodes. And I was like, that's hilarious, right? And we filmed it, and they were like, we're never gonna use this. And then last minute, we had to lose a bit for legal reasons, and they're like, oh, we guess we have to do that now. So they put it in.
Your looks helped you or hurt you?
They hurt me for a while, and now they help me. You know, in the beginning, no one. I mean, you were so beautiful.
Yeah.
You're still beautiful. But when you were very young and coming up, it must have hurt you a little bit because people just didn't take you seriously. But then as you get older and more, and people know who you are. No, but I mean, like, once people know, oh, there's Joan Rivers, then it helps you.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So now it's good.
No, what hindered me was I was the first girl that didn't dress like a comedian, like Phyllis Diller.
Okay.
I dressed because I wanted to get married, so I tried to be pretty on stage, hoping, never worked. So, and that was a big breakthrough, that a normal girl would be there.
Yeah.
Who are your audiences? What age?
They're mostly, I would say, guys age, 18 to 40.
Yeah.
I get some women.
Oh, of course you get
women. More than I would have thought. I thought it'd be all guys, like an Andrew Dice Clay show, but it's not.
What about the women? Are you getting a lot of groupies now? Has it changed now that you've gotten famous?
I've never gotten enough groupies, as far as I'm concerned. And the people who come up to me after a show who are like very bold and like, I want to sleep with you, are women that I would never consider sleeping with. I'm like, I can't believe the balls on you to come up to this guy who's been a jerk on stage for an hour and be like, have sex with me when they're not very attractive.
And what do you usually say? No, mother?
I say, sorry, I'm busy, it depends. It depends if they have drugs.
Or tell me I have a disease.
Tell me I have a disease?
That way you're letting them down nicely.
Yeah.
You know, it's not you.
Yeah.
It's I just can't. I'm all inflamed.
I have AIDS.
Yeah, I have AIDS.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I should say. Tell them on stage that I have AIDS.
Yeah, tell them on stage.
I'll tell them I got that from you.
That's good, and that's a sympathy. Then you'll get a sympathy standing ovation.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? If they think you're going to die, they will always stand up.
Really? Is that what you've learned over the years?
Yeah, I usually tell them I don't feel well. They're up in a shock.
I always hear from comics who have opened for you and they rave about you because you're so nice that a lot of people will get heckled. You know, like your audience comes out a lot of times the opener has to kind of convince the crowd that they're not getting ripped off.
Yes.
You know, like Joan's still coming.
Yeah.
I'm just here extra. So they'll mean to them and everyone says you'll come out. You'll find the person heckling them, throw a drink in their face, have them thrown out.
Yeah, sounds like
a dream.
Yeah, but I was at opening act so long that the opening act, you were opening act. Who did you open for?
I remember a couple guys. I opened for Sarah Silverman a little bit.
Oh, that's interesting.
She was great. Doug Benson was fun. And Brian Posehn I opened for a lot.
Because they're waiting to see Sarah.
Yes.
Now you come out. So already they're not happy.
Yeah.
Plus they're still seating the audience.
Yeah.
So I always feel so sorry for the opening act.
Sure.
Because you're coming to your punchline, And if you're playing an indie casino, that's when the chief walks in. You know, here goes a guy with a blanket and a feather. There goes your punchline.
Yeah, exactly.
So with Sarah, you were so edgy. How could Sarah be even edgier than you? Or were you different in those days?
We're still pretty edgy. I don't think she really cared. You know, she had so many fans that just wanted to come see her.
Yeah.
They don't even care about her jokes. They're just like, oh, I want to see Sarah.
Yeah.
So you can come out and have the most original act of all time and people don't remember you. They're like, oh, that was kind of funny. Let me go wait in line to talk to Sarah for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Being funny is nice. Being famous is a lot better when it comes to drawing on the road and everything.
And it also gets you an upgrade in a hotel.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It gets you lots of things. Like you say, gee, I need a doctor. We can get a few.
Yeah.
No problem. I need an extra lamp. We can get a few. What about your act? You started out doing what? And how did you get to non sequiturs, which fascinates me?
Well, I started telling kind of stories about my life, but I was like 23 years old and just boring. And people, when they would see me, just already didn't like me, you know, kind of thing when I'd walk up on stage. And I thought, I don't like doing this. I'm not an interesting person at 23 years old. Nobody cares what a 23-year-old has to say. But I love jokes. And I love Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy. Do you remember those on Saturday Night Live from back in the day? Yeah, those like these hilarious kind of like weird one-liner jokes that came out of nowhere. That I thought, well, what's the funniest thing in the world? I'll just kind of copy that until I figure out my own voice. And then just started doing that, just writing one-liner after one-liner. And I found that the meaner the twist on at the end, the bigger the laugh. It was like a guttural kind of thing.
What are some of the jokes now that you feel you're edgiest?
One of my favorite jokes now is, I'll tell you a couple.
I'm laughing already, you know that.
I've got, you know, my mom actually should have been on one of the planes that crashed on 9/11. I think. That's a good one. I like to say, my uncle runs a summer camp for kids about to get molested. It's a fun one. A fun one, too. Yeah. What's my new? Oh, I have a new one. I'll tell you. I used to have a son, but he died the same way Eric Clapton's son died. For inspiration. This is good. This is good. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh. Who now are you looking at? You saying, oh, who made you laugh growing up?
Who made me laugh growing up? Pretty much everybody. Like, I loved all comedy. That I would watch Elaine Boozler the same way I would watch Robin Williams or Stephen Wright. They were all just funny people. I love Stephen Wright because it was like the how did he think of it kind of thing.
Oh, yes.
That really gets to me. I loved Dennis Leary when I was a kid. I remember I had his album, No Cure for Cancer. I love that. The asshole song killed me. Adam Sandler. I pretty much loved everybody. And now, I don't know about you, but like nothing makes me laugh anymore. Like I have to either be friends with the person or they have to be a genius. But I like now seeing things where people are bombing. You know, if someone's like not doing well, like that's all I want to see. I'm like fascinated by that. Everything else just bores me.
When you became a writer, what was the material you submitted that they accepted you? And what was your first real writing job?
Oh God, I think I wrote for Sarah Silverman. It was my first writing job with the MTV Movie Awards. No, she just asked for me. She just liked my jokes, knew I had good jokes, and said, why don't you come on for a couple weeks? And that, I did really well those couple weeks. I remember I had some good jokes for her and that's how I met Brian Posehn and Doug Benson, who would take me on the road later on. It was through her. And then I eventually got to write for Late Night with Jimmy Fallon for a year. They were like, give us a packet of all these different things. And I said, screw you, here's 20 jokes. That's all I want to do is write jokes.
Right.
And they hired me on the spot.
And so what were some of the jokes you wrote for? Because you would be so edgy. He's such a good guy. He's not edgy. Were the jokes that you would write and they'd say, this is hilarious, but we can't do?
Yes. All of my jokes, they were like that. It was like for a year of people saying, like, this is funny. They would say, this is funny for the Anthony show. It's not funny for the Jimmy show. And after a year, I was like, well, that Anthony show sounds hilarious. Let's go do that.
I was going to say, I think it charged you the Anthony show.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of some jokes I had. I remember one joke for Fallon was doctors are saying now that the pill, like the pregnancy pill, might not work in obese women. Doctors are telling those women, don't worry about it. And I tried for like months to get them to do that joke, and he was like, fat women are gonna hate me if I say this joke. And I was like, who cares? Yeah. It's all right for people to hate you.
First of all, they're not gonna change the set because they're sitting on the thing, they can't get up.
Yeah. Plus, they're all watching Ferguson anyway. Not that big a deal.
Who watches Ferguson?
Old women.
Because he's very charming.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know of anybody that watches him.
No. No one you know does. It's all like middle-aged, middle-of-the-country women who just love him, think he's really charming.
Do you watch?
I don't watch.
In the late night wars, if any.
You know, if I was going to watch anyone, honestly, it would be Leno. And people crap on Leno hard. Because Leno's a comedian. And I feel like I think Letterman's very funny. I think Conan's funny. Fallon's funny. They're all funny. Kimmel's funny. They've all done great things for me. But Leno's the only comedian. So I kind of just like watching a comedian tell jokes.
What joke has he ever told?
I don't
want to be rude, but I have never heard anyone ever say, Leno last night. I'm sorry I woke you up, but you had to see this.
But you like his stand-up, though, right? Leno's stand-up?
I never watched the show.
You've never seen? Oh, have you ever seen him live?
No, is he good?
He's very funny live. Yeah, he's great. He's great at what he does.
All right.
And the show, I'm not the demographic for the show, but I don't know, I just like him the most.
And who has been the kindest to you? Who put you on first in the late night?
Kimmel put me on first. It was great to me. Conan was nice, he was great to me, wasn't first. But Leno, when I was there, was the coolest to me by far. Have you even done stand-up on The Tonight Show?
I've never done stand-up on The Tonight Show.
No?
No.
Oh, you would love it.
They brought me on as a writer, so I sat down from the very beginning.
Really?
Never did stand-up.
Oh, it's too bad. I think it's the best setup for a stand-up. Like the way they have the crowd set up with the cameras and everything, it's perfect.
How do you remember, you're all non-sequiturs.
Mm-hmm.
How do you remember? Which goes where?
Fear, for the most part. You know what I mean? Like, you go up and you like, I'll try to study something, but I'm a comedian. I can't study notes. So I have to go up and just kind of wing it. And it's so embarrassing when I get something wrong or I mess up a joke that afterwards it's all I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
So the next time I go up, I have it down. And now if I have a new joke, it's like one new joke in a sea of old stuff, so I can kind of know where to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have to just go through the moment of not knowing it, you know, to get there.
Oh, I put all my new jokes on the stage and try to get to them, and then when they don't laugh. What do you do when you do a joke that you think is brilliant and they're just not laughing at it? How long does it take you before you take it out?
It depends on, if I get nothing out of it, then maybe twice. If I get a little bit, you know, maybe I'll keep working with it. My jokes are kind of like, I think of them as clocks. They either work perfectly or not at all. That if a joke doesn't really work, if I really believe in a joke, I'll eat it with it for about a month. And usually I'll just tell the crowd, like, you're wrong, I'm right. They laugh at that. Yeah. But after a while, they'll talk me out of it.
Have you ever apologized for a joke?
Never. Never. I think that's the dumbest thing in the world to do. I can't understand why anyone ever apologizes for a joke. It's just stupid. And it just opens up a door.
Has anyone, like, important said, that's wrong? I did a joke on Heidi Klum. Little Nazi joke.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've ever met her, I think a little close to home there. And people were very upset and wanted me to apologize.
Yeah, but when people say they're very upset, they're not really very upset. When someone's like, I'm offended, that doesn't mean anything. You'll be offended for a little bit and then you get over it. You know, that, like, I had a thing recently where I did a bit on my show about a guy who got killed in a shark attack. Like, I love sharks. So we were like, this guy in New Zealand got killed by a shark attack. And then I had dancers come out dressed like sharks. I got a lap dance from a girl in like a shark costume. And then we just like had the guy's picture and I was like, smile, you son of a bitch. You know, the man who made this all possible. And no one here really cared.
The man that made this all possible.
Yeah. He had a family and stuff. It was weird. But no one in America got mad, but New Zealand as a country went ballistic and were demanding an apology and screaming at me. They posted my parents' address and phone number, which ticked me off. We got that taken care of, got it scrubbed. My parents had to change their phone number because we were getting calls from New Zealanders at 4 a.m. calling me a wanker. Have you ever apologized for a joke? I want to ask you that.
No.
Never?
No.
Not once.
Won't apologize.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing you can do.
But people lose their, Bill Maher lost his show over that. You remember that 9/11 joke, which is a very funny joke.
Yeah, and it wasn't even that critical. It made sense what he said, and it wasn't a big deal at the time. Like, all these things, they don't seem like a big deal, and then they blow up out of nowhere. Like, Gilbert Gottfried with the tsunami tweets, he'd said a million times more offensive than that joke, and that almost ruined him.
And the tsunami, you know, when all said and done, it left a very clean country.
Yeah, well, it's just water.
It glistened.
Yeah, just because they couldn't drink it fast enough doesn't mean I need to curb my humor, Joan.
If you had to choose between performing and writing, which gives you the most pleasure?
you know, it's hard not to say performing, but if I don't have a new joke, if I don't have something new to try, I'm bored immediately. And I love being able to tell it. And writing these jokes and then not being, having someone else say them was torture for me too. I didn't like having a good joke that someone else said.
What are you working on now? What's your latest joke that you're most in love with?
Latest joke I'm most in love with. I'm trying. I'm always trying for new cancer jokes. I love cancer's like almost untouchable, but people like it. People with cancer like it. That's what I'm kind of going for.
And you did a whole. What's funny? Different cancers. Is colon cancer funny to say than brain cancer?
Yeah.
You know, which...
What's the funniest cancer?
Yeah, which is the best cancer? You know, you're gonna... Like, breast cancer, you get a smile. I think when you really get an esophagus stuff, it's a belly laugh.
Yeah, anal cancer is a tough one to not laugh at. Anal cancer is the toughest. When I found out Farrah Fawcett died from anal cancer, I couldn't believe it.
I don't want to ask how she got it. She died from anal cancer?
Anal cancer, yeah.
Oh, they should never let that out.
No.
It should be something romantic.
Yeah, I think that's why she got it, because she was holding it in for so long.
When are you going on tour?
Right after my show ends. My show ends at the end of April, and then I go on tour for about a month and a half.
And your show is on what nights?
Tuesday nights at 10:30.
Go right into the camera.
Tuesday nights at 10:30 after Daniel Tosh, Comedy Central. It's called the Jeselnik Offensive.
What makes a Comedy Central comic, a Comedy Central comic?
Being young, white, and male.
Okay.
That's all right. It. Yeah, that's it.
There are no black kids on?
There's a couple. They've got Key and Peele, but they kind of half count. I think that's why they have to have two of them. and then Amy Schumer is going to have a show coming up. She's like the one female comic they
have. And they had Whitney for a while.
They only had Whitney on the roast. They lost her. Which is, I think, why now I have a TV show is because they blew it with Whitney and she went to NBC and made millions of dollars and now I'm stuck at Comedy Central.
And so they signed you before you went on the roast?
I did the Trump.
Tell how you got on the roast. This is fascinating. He was writing. He was one of the writers of the roast, you told us. And then who got sick? Somebody got sick or dropped out.
Someone died.
Well, that's getting
someone
sick.
Died. Someone
died. Somebody died.
Well, let him tell. Let him. Okay. Let him tell.
Now,
okay.
Here's what happened. Because people think that I replaced Greg Giraldo, the great Greg Giraldo.
Yes.
But I was going to be on the roast. The last words I had with Greg Giraldo were after the Trump roast, or the Hasselhoff roast. When I was like, I'm going to be on the next one. We were friends. We were excited, hugged each other. And then he left and he died a couple months later. But I didn't really replace him, but that's kind of how.
Well, he wasn't there, and you were.
That's true, but I would have been there. He would have been there with me if he hadn't died.
And he was with you in spirit.
No, I don't believe in all that bullshit.
I just thought of something.
Yeah, what is it?
Do your parents ever say, have you crossed the line?
My parents, they love my stand-up. They got used to it because they know everything's made up. If I'm making a cancer joke about someone, then like I had a joke like, my mom's in a really bad mood. She just found out she has to have both of her breasts removed if she's ever going to be good at golf. And that's like, you can't really get offended by that joke. And it's like all made up. But now that I have a TV show and I'm making fun of real people, now they're kind of like, through the shark bit, they were like, that guy died. And he had family and you made fun of him like a week later.
Yeah, and
so
you
they're not thrilled with that. And I'm just
no,
like.
No, and you have a Gucci bag from me.
Yeah, exactly,
like,
exactly,
up.
Yeah. I buy them nice presents now,
yeah,
so they
exactly.
can't get too
and
mad.
And not go back to Slovakia or whatever you
And they don't get too mad. They're just kind of like, yeah, we saw the show. Yeah, you certainly made fun of that guy who killed himself. I'm like, yep, yeah, we did. Sorry, he's already dead. He's not going to get any more dead because I made a joke about it.
There is a wife and five children.
There was just the one two-year-old daughter.
Oh, so?
Yeah, so it wasn't that. Yeah, she's not my demographic. She doesn't know.
Well, listen, come and ask. We always play a little game.
Oh, great.
And we're going to ask you a few questions. See, and you stopped sweating and everything.
It's a beginning thing.
See, oh, ooh, nice. Well.
I'm meeting one of my idols.
Yeah. What a disappointment in the car home.
So, we like to play Who Would You Want to Be Stuck on a Desert Island with?
Who would I want to be stuck
of these different pairings?
Great.
Lori Partridge or Marsha Brady?
I gotta go Marsha Brady. I don't remember Lori Partridge, but Marsha Brady was hot. I gotta go Marsha Brady.
Barbara Walters or Diane Sawyer?
Now or like
no,
in their prime?
In their prime.
In their prime. I'm gonna have to go. And I don't want this to sound politically incorrect. Diane Sawyer seems like a slut. You know what I mean? Like a straight up whore. That I think
you could take the word seems out.
Yeah, I would go. I would go with her.
Go with Whitney Cummings or Sarah Silverman.
Oof. That's a tough one. That's like choosing between two sisters, which I'm happy to do. I would go Sarah, but there's no losing in that situation. Yeah, I like them both very much.
And to finish up, this is the killer: Hitler or Mussolini.
Hitler or Mussolini on a desert island. That's like another Sarah and Whitney question. It's like you can't really go wrong. I would have to go Hitler, because there aren't any trains on that island, so you don't really need Mussolini. I would go Hitler. Yeah, I would go Hitler. Seems cool.
I'm thrilled to meet you.
I'm thrilled to meet
Everybody
you.
Everybody was saying to me, oh, Anthony, Jeselnik, wait, you meet him and you're going to love him. I love you. You're just the greatest. That's so funny. You're so smart.
That means so much to me. And honestly, you pronouncing my name correctly this whole interview is like one of the highlights of my life.
I never believed it. I am so bad on names. Now, everybody, Andy Jeselnik from Jeselnik Offensive.
Thank you.
And we always ask our guests, we have a clapper. So when you're ready, would you do the clap off?
I've never done this before. I've never had the technology. Yes.
I've just been in bed with Joan. Strange experience. I was told that they wanted me here just to be in bed with her at the end of her life. But it was more of like an interview kind of thing where she asked me questions and knew how to pronounce my name, which I was thrilled about. But it was great to meet a comedy idol, one of the all-time greats ever. This is probably my last chance to meet her. We don't go to the same parties.
Here we go again. I loved Anthony Jeselnik. I didn't know him at all. I wasn't sure if I was going to find him arrogant. I found him terrific and very thought-provoking. I mean, the whole thing on anal cancer, I mean, I had no idea about anal cancer. I had no idea that you could get anal cancer by smoking cigarettes from your ass. I mean, that to me, I knew about ping pong balls, but you learn. You'll learn on this show.